Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think we're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him at the 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow.
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
Welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I am here each week talking LSU football. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. Be sure to go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. I am broadcasting live from Lake Charles on this beautiful afternoon. I'm looking out the window right here, and absolutely gorgeous weather this afternoon. Feels like fall because it's crazy. The last three Saturdays in a row, we've had torrential downpours, at least in the south central Louisiana area. I know Baton Rouge got, you know, hit hard either this weekend or last weekend or whatever. But yeah, it was probably a sign of things to come, all that terrible weather on Saturdays, because last night, unfortunately, the LSU Tigers suffered their first loss of the season after being defeated by Alabama 30-16. This will certainly be an interesting episode of the podcast, as it is my first podcast episode of the season following a loss. But of course, it'll be the same, you know, guidelines. You know, right now we're going to go ahead and take a look at the scoring recap. Excuse me for a second, because I have something caught in my throat. Great timing there. Okay, so we started off the game last night. First quarter seemed like it was going to be your traditional LSU Alabama defensive struggle. Nobody scored. And then in the second quarter, you know, the team started to get rolling a little bit. Alabama got rolling first. Adam Griffith hit a 22-yard field goal to make it 3-0. And Derrick Henry then added a touchdown, 10-0. You know, Alabama's up. And at that point already, Leonard Fournette wasn't getting anything done. And it seemed like LSU was out of the water. I mean, just out of the game already. But then they kind of got out of the water. It was a 40-yard pass from Brandon Harris to Traven Doral, made it 10-7. Trent Domingue then tied it up, 39-yard field goal, and 14 seconds left to go in the first half. This right here, just I know LSU fans, this had to hurt, because when this happened, you just had a bad feeling. Adam Griffiths kicked a 55-yard field goal to absolutely just take away any momentum LSU had going into the half, because LSU did get the ball to start the second half, and it absolutely killed the momentum, because Alabama, you know, one of the strengths that LSU we thought we had was the field goal kicking. If it came down to a field goal, LSU's kicker would be able to nail it over Alabama's kicker. But then, you know, the 55-yard field goal to end the first half, and oh my goodness, it that was a blow right there. And then we come out in the second half, we get the ball first, and then an even bigger blow, the worst timing possible for Brandon Harris to throw his first interception of the season, throws it quickly in the first half. We were the first team to hold the ball in the second half, but quickly threw an interception that led to a Derrick Henry 1-yard touchdown run. Alabama now goes back up by 10. And at this point, once again, back down by 10 quickly before we can even enjoy the fact that we're back in this game. And then Derrick Henry then scored again late in the third quarter, made it 27-10. And then Adam Griffiths to start the fourth quarter, 29-yard field goal, made it 30-10. And Leonard Fournette finally kind of got a couple of good runs going late in the ball game. He did punch one in, made it 30-16. That extra point was blocked after the Alabama defensive lineman. My goodness, he literally jumped over the snapper and blocked that kick. I mean, that was probably one of the more athletic defensive plays that you'll ever see from a guy who's 300-plus pounds. So certainly Alabama was the better football team last night. And honestly, I can't say that I'm very surprised because initially when the line came out and I saw that Alabama was favorite by 7, my gut was telling me that that's probably not good because, you know, Alabama has lost this season. And of course the spreads, you know, really have nothing to do with, you know, how well you've done so far and whatnot. It's based on the matchup. And cause I think it was USC was actually favored over Utah about maybe a month ago when Utah was on a roll, just beating everybody convincingly. And, you know, it's just crazy how things turn out in college football. Alabama turns out to be a 7-point favorite, and, you know, they go on to win by 14. So we'll take a look at some individual stats. Leonard Fournette, he was shut down from the get-go. That right there was probably just when Leonard Fournette couldn't get anything going, you knew we were in trouble because, you know, that's what our MO has been all season long. Give the ball to Leonard Fournette and let him do what he does. And he's the reason we've won the majority of our ball games, probably all of our ball games, because without Leonard Fournette, we might lose the Auburn game maybe, or we might lose the Florida game, you know. And I'm not saying we would have, but we might have. We didn't have Leonard Fournette. But because he certainly, you know, in all these games, he came out and set the tone from the get-go with the way he runs the football. And then last night, Alabama's defensive line absolutely set the tone from the get-go. They were, you know, clogging holes. Defensive line was absolutely manhandling our offensive line. Our offensive line couldn't get any good blocks to give Leonard Fournette any room to run. And it was just – it was very bad to watch, at least for an LSU fan last night. I was kind of cringing just every time Leonard Fournette touched the football. I honestly, you know, up until this point, I feel like every time Leonard Fournette did touch the football, he was able to, you know, break one for a touchdown, whether it be from 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 99 yards, it doesn't matter. And last night, I just felt like at one point, even Leonard Fournette could not save us from, you know, getting over this Alabama defense. And, you know, thankfully, Brandon Harris showed a little bit of poise, making some good throws. Trayvon Doral was absolutely amazing. He came down with a couple of big catches. But at the end of the day, our defense could not stop Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, I believe, had over 210 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, if you were putting these statistics just as far as the statistics are concerned, just putting them up on a wall and, you know, blanking out the names, a lot of people would have believed that Leonard Fournette would have ran for 210 yards and 3 touchdowns, but that was certainly not the case. Leonard Fournette finished with 31 yards and a touchdown. His longest run of the night was 18 yards. He only averaged 1.6 yards a carry. Brandon Harris was 6 of 19 for 128 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. And then Jake Coker actually had a pretty good game, 18 of 24, 184 yards. He was sacked 3 times, but despite the pressure, he was able to make good throws and not make any mistakes. And that was the one thing that LSU really needed, was for Jake Coker to make a big mistake. But hats off to Jake Coker, as much as I hate saying that. He played a great game. You know, he didn't do he wasn't the reason they won. It was Derrick Henry. But Jake Coker certainly was not the reason that they would have lost that game. So Jake Coker played very well. And you know what? Honestly, there was times where I saw LSU playing well, but for the most part, you know, having 2 weeks to prepare, there was that time we were back down into our own end zone early in the game where we had 2 delay of game penalties in a row. Absolutely unacceptable there. And it just seems like we cannot get over the hump against Alabama ever since we lost that national championship game in the Superdome to them 21-0. It's like we're cursed. I have a good feeling that we are just cursed against Alabama, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to get over it. You know, we thought it would have been having Leonard Fournette. Of course, we're going to have him next season too. So, you know, maybe something will be done between now and then to improve the running scheme against this Alabama defense, which, by the way, we mentioned it on the podcast last week, third in the nation in rush defense. And, you know, I did say on the podcast last week, I didn't want to believe it, but I did say that, you know, there was a possibility that this Alabama defense could stop Leonard Fournette and Brandon Fournette. I mean, Brandon Harris would have to win this game for us. And, you know, when I said that they would stop Leonard Fournette, I say, you know, when you say stop Leonard Fournette, you mean hold him to under 100 yards. Leonard Fournette had, I don't even remember what he had at halftime. He didn't even have 15 rushing yards at halftime. And, you know, when you stop Leonard Fournette, you stop LSU, because if you can't get the run game going, then, especially with Leonard Fournette, you can't get it going, then it just isn't your night. And it was not LSU's night last night. Brandon Harris made a couple of good throws, and a couple of receivers made a couple of good plays down the field. So, you have to excuse me with the coughing, because for some reason it's like I have something caught in my throat, and every now and then, you know, it makes me want to cough. But back to the game, is just that it wasn't our night last night. Alabama, obviously the better team. If we played, these two teams played on a neutral field 10 times, honestly, Alabama would probably win 8 or 9 times, because just the way the defensive line manhandled our offensive line, it was absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, I thought our offensive line would have been up to the challenge to, you know, at least get a little bit of running room for Leonard Fournette. But, man, the truth be told, Leonard Fournette had zero room to run the football last night until we got to the fourth quarter, where we were down already by 20 points. So we're going to look at some more individual statistics here. Trayvon Dorrell had two big catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Malachi Dupree, two catches, 23 yards. Deshaun Smith had a nice 26-yard catch in the game. Gerald Hawkins, the one-handed catch by our offensive lineman that was made. He gained 2 yards there, and they actually have him down in the stat book with the catch and 2 yards. I thought they threw a penalty on the play for that, but and maybe it would have negated it, but he's certainly down here for a catch and 2 yards. So Gerald Hawkins got an unlikely catch last night. We talked a little bit about the Alabama individual statistics. Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver for Alabama, I believe he's just a freshman, and he is certainly he's going to be a good little ball player. He had 7 catches for 51 yards. He's going to be one heck of a little ball player. I kind of watched him throughout the season because, of course, you know, as an LSU fan, you always got to keep an eye on Alabama, especially before they play each other. And Calvin Ridley seems like he's going to be one heck of a little ball player. But man, I'm just overwhelmed at how much we were dominated last night. Let's see if I can pull up some team statistics here. I didn't put them down in chance to put them down on my script here, but we're certainly scrolling down here on one of these websites that I look for LSU statistics. But here we go. We're gonna get a box score here, team statistics, just to kind of give you an idea as to how LSU was dominated last night. 28-12 in first downs in favor of Alabama. Net rushing yards, 250-54. Passing, Alabama had 184. We had 128. So we kind of hung around there for passing wise, but completion percentage, they absolutely dominated us. They were 18 of 24. We were 6 of 19. So we didn't even complete half of our passes last night. Total offensive yards, absolutely dominated, 434-182. Offensive plays, they had 79. We only had 45. Time of possession, I'm trying to look at that. They held the ball nearly twice as long as we had it. That's another problem right there. We could not hold onto the ball for very long. Alabama would get the ball, run with Derrick Henry. I believe their first scoring drive, the field goal where they go up 3-0, that was a 15-play drive. 15 plays, 87 yards, only took 5:19 off the clock. That was the longest scoring drive of the night by Alabama. So it's just a, you know, and a lot of fans out there are very upset about the way we performed. But honestly, I said it earlier, you know, I'm hoping LSU can still, you know, win the next 3 games, which I firmly believe they can. They're very capable of winning these next 3 games and still making it to a New Year's 6 bowl game. So a lot of fans want to know, where does LSU go from here? Well, obviously we do not control our own destiny in the SEC West anymore, but you know, if Alabama just loses one time, then LSU's right back in it. You know, Alabama has to go on the road to Mississippi State this week. Mississippi State's been winning some ball games lately, so you know, you never know. Mississippi State could maybe pull off the upset there, or maybe Alabama, you know, coming off this big emotional win against an LSU team. You never know. And then 2 weeks later, they got to go on the road to Auburn. Of course, we all know what happened last time Alabama was in the Plains at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So if Alabama would lose just one game, LSU would be right back in it, and that's if LSU can take care of business throughout the month of November, because, of course, we have a brutal schedule as well. We have Arkansas this week, followed by a road game at Ole Miss, which Arkansas and Ole Miss played one hell of a game yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that, because that is our next two opponents coming up. They had one hell of a game and one hell of a play, too, I might add. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, we close it out in Tiger Stadium against Texas A&M. Texas A&M fell last night to Auburn. So Texas A&M, right now, they're having some quarterback issues from what I've seen last night. So now a lot of people want to know about what this means in the Heisman race. I haven't looked at any official Heisman, rankings, at least put out by ESPN or anything, but right now, in my opinion, Derrick Henry looks to have taken the lead after the head-to-head performance last night against Leonard Fournette. Now, Fournette is still not out of the running, because statistically he is still better overall than Henry for the season, and that's with one less game. Of course, you know, we didn't play McNeese because that game got canceled, so we have one less game, and he still has all these statistics better. But depending on which Heisman voter you would probably ask, some may weigh their decision greatly on the performances in big games, such as the one last night. So the fact that Derrick Henry on the big stage, which the whole country, I'm sure, was watching this game, 210 yards, 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry got a lot of Heisman votes last night from Heisman voters. I promise you that. So Derrick Henry, in my opinion, has now taken the lead. Fournette, I would probably say he's second or third. Well, I'd probably say second, because Trayvon Boykin would be up there, but they lost yesterday. So I would still leave Fournette at second. Now, LSU still has, three SEC West teams, still three quality SEC West teams left to play, one on the road, two at home. So if LSU can win these next three games, I'm not going to go as far as saying that they're completely out of the college football playoff discussion yet. If they lose another game, obviously they're out. But – you know, it's college football. Anything can happen. Believe it or not, we'll find out Tuesday where LSU ranks in the college football playoff committee, because I have a feeling that, you know, this is just a feeling on my part, that the committee could put Alabama up to number two, where LSU was. Well, I'm not sure if they would jump Ohio State, but we'll know. Let's put it this way: the win over LSU would put a one-loss Alabama over an undefeated Ohio State team, who's arguably their best win right now is still Virginia Tech way back on Labor Day. So, if Alabama would be number two, that would leave LSU one loss, with their only loss coming to the number two team. So, you know, logically, the committee could still put LSU maybe at fourth, because if I remember right, last season, the initial college football playoff rankings had Ole Miss at number three in the country, and then they just lost to LSU, and then they were still in the top four the week after. So I don't know, honestly. All you fans out there who are, the thought of the college football playoff has left your mind, well, I wouldn't, leave it completely, because, like I said, it's college football. Anything can happen. LSU is not out of it by any means. They're still not even out of the SEC championship race. Of course, they don't control their own destiny, but right now, certainly no means out of the college football playoff discussion, especially with the round robin that people have been calling it of November, where all these top teams are going to be playing each other. I mean, you just seen TCU fall last night. You see Michigan State fall last night. So teams are falling left and right, and Alabama already fell once. So, and Alabama could fall again. You have two games against SEC opponents, plus they got to play Florida. And while Florida might not have looked very interesting or very impressive yesterday, Florida, I have a feeling, will come to play. And they did clinch the East. So Florida is now – the East representative in the SEC championship game. They will be in Atlanta on December the 5th. As of right now, they will be playing Alabama. Alabama is in the lead. But I can't stress it enough. It's college football. It's the month of November, and there's still 3 weeks left in the season. So coming up next now, we have the Arkansas Razorbacks coming to town. Arkansas, they started off 2-4, and now they are actually above 500. They've won three games in a row now. They defeated Auburn in four overtimes a few weeks ago, then defeated Tennessee Martin, and huge win yesterday in overtime, 53-52 at Ole Miss. Anybody who watched that game, please tell me you saw the 4th-and-25 in overtime. Arkansas was down 52-45. It's 4th down. Brandon Allen throws it to his receiver, who was not going to get the first down. So he decides to just chunk the ball backwards in hopes somebody makes a play. And sure enough, a play was made. Arkansas gets the first down, goes on to score a touchdown, gets the two-point conversion, wins the ball game. Certainly a heartbreaking loss for Ole Miss, because Ole Miss was still, you know, in play for the SEC championship as well. Now they kind of take a step back, which I believe they're still mathematically in there. But Arkansas got a huge win. They won three games in a row now. And, of course, they did beat us 17-0 last year. We're going to take a look at Arkansas's team statistics right now. Total offense, 27th in the country, averaging 472.6 yards per game. Passing offense is also ranked 27th in the country, while their rushing offense is 41st. Their team passing efficiency is 12th in the country. Scoring offense, 36th. So their offense can get it done. Defensively, total defense, 80th in the country. Their rush defense is 28th in the country. So, you know, hopefully Leonard Fournette doesn't have as much trouble this coming week as he did this past week. But if he does, Arkansas's passing yards allowed per game, 114th in the country, and their team passing efficiency defense is 109th in the country. So, hypothetically, let's say Leonard Fournette doesn't have that good of a game, which I believe he's going to bounce back. Honestly, I would be shocked if Leonard Fournette did not run for 100 yards this Saturday. But, you know, it's crazy what a game like last night can do to the psyche of this team. They may not play as confident going down the stretch, but this is a team that's very capable of beating anybody with the exception of Alabama right now. I just don't think that this team can match up with Alabama. I firmly believe this team could match up with the majority of the top 10. Speaking of top 10, while I'm thinking about it, LSU drops to 9th in the AP and the coaches poll. So just to kind of take that for what it's worth, LSU fans, I don't believe LSU will drop that far in the college football rankings, however, because Alabama was 7th going into this week in the AP and coaches poll, and then the college football playoff had them at number 4. So getting back to Arkansas's team statistics, third down conversion percentage, they're 15th in the country there. So on defense, they're 117th giving up on third down conversions. So this defense seems like they can maybe stop the run from time to time, but overall, LSU should not have that hard of a time moving the ball against this team. If there's any time for the passing offense to come alive, especially it's going to be this week against Arkansas with their statistically rotten pass defense. So as I mentioned a while ago, the college football playoff rankings will be out Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Now, the LSU men's and women's basketball team seasons are right around the corner. Just want to touch on that for just a second. LSU men's basketball team had an exhibition game Friday night where they defeated Southwest Baptist 98-72. Ben Simmons had 17 points and 9 rebounds. The Tigers open up their regular season this Friday at the PMAC against McNeese State. So I don't think we'll have to worry about any lightning delays or cancellations for this particular sporting event against McNeese. So this Friday night, the PMAC Tigers, they're actually ranked 19th at preseason. So high expectations for the men's basketball team this season. The women's basketball team, they won their exhibition game last Wednesday night against Union 88-57. They will also open up their season this Friday on the road at Wake Forest. So basketball season is just about upon us as the football season hits the home stretch. Again, LSU taking on Arkansas this coming Saturday. That game is now scheduled 6:15 kickoff in Tiger Stadium. Will be televised by ESPN. So It'll be interesting to see how the LSU Tigers bounce back after their loss to Alabama. We did lose to Arkansas 17-0 last year, so I have a feeling that redemption is on the mind of a lot of these Tigers, and they just want to get that bad taste out of their mouth after last night, because while a lot of people, including Vegas, expected Alabama to win, just the way Alabama won and the way we, didn't really show up to play for the most part of the game, it was somewhat embarrassing for the team and for LSU fans. So, of course, I'm LSU till I die, and I know they're going to bounce back this week, give Arkansas a beatdown that we owe to them from last year. So it's going to be a fun 3 weeks because we have three quality opponents that we're going to be playing. It's going to be interesting to see how LSU, because even last season, LSU lost those two back-to-back games, kind of got on a roll, then lost again to Alabama, and then after that, we lost to Arkansas, and then we lost to Notre Dame at the end of the season. So it just is going to be interesting to see if LSU can keep on track after this heartbreaking loss. And like I said, this was going to be a very interesting episode of Bengal Beat, considering it's the first one this season following a loss. And I'm just at a loss for words right now as to, just LSU's lack of showing up from the get-go. Last night it was, even when, the Brandon Harris to Traven Darrell touchdown got him back in the game, we tied it up, my gut was telling me that we were in serious trouble because Leonard Fournette at that point had not moved the ball whatsoever. So, all right, guys, it is about time for me to wrap it up here. But thanks again for tuning in, and remember to go like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This coming week, LSU will return to Baton Rouge to take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. The game will be televised by ESPN Saturday night with kickoff set for 6:15 p.m. We hope that the Tigers will bounce back after the tough loss last week at Alabama. Don't forget, folks, there's still plenty of hope for LSU to have a good season. Worst case scenario, right now, we can still make a New Year's Six bowl game, which is going to be an improvement from last season. So keep your head up, Tiger fans. There's still a great LSU football team, and we will bounce back this week against Arkansas, I believe. And we're going to give Ole Miss hell in 2 weeks and then give Texas A&M hell on senior night in Tiger Stadium. So until next week, folks, have a good one and go Tigers.